Jennifer Hambrick, midday host of Classical 101, WOSU Public Media in Columbus. And I am in the Classical 101 studio with Boyce Lancaster, who needs no introduction. Hi, Boyce.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Well, how are you doing?
Well, I'm feeling a little out of pocket, you know. It's a strange thing, this whole not going to be getting up at the crack of dark anymore. So I'm coming to grips with that.
Yeah. Well, we all are. Let me put it that way. And I thank you for your time today. I thought it might be nice to just kind of chat a little bit about your career in broadcasting and your time here at WOSU and in Central Ohio. But I'd like to start with sort of a personal reflection, if I may, about my time working with you.
Sure.
You are morning host to Classical 101, and then I come in at the end of your time on the air, and then I do the midday stint every day. And this has been going on for like the last almost 10 years, which is hard to imagine in and of itself. But there's always a sort of little routine that we've gotten ourselves into.
See, you're starting with me already.
At the changing of the guards, when you leave the board and I come into the studio, it goes something like this. I walk into the studio and I say, "All right, Lancaster.
All right, Hambrick. Don't start with me.
Well, I'm not starting with you.
I'm stopping. I've already stopped starting.
All right. If you stop starting, then who's going to start stopping?
I don't know. I don't even know when this started.
Okay, stop it.
It's been like that every day forever.
Every day forever. And people don't know that there is this little sort of routine, but now they do.
And then you're out. And if it doesn't happen, you kind of don't feel like your day is complete.
Right. You really don't. You really don't. And then usually one of us just kind of leaves the room.
Exactly. Usually, because that's the only way to stop the starting or start the stopping.
Or start the stopping.
One of those, yes.
It's sort of, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Doubles back on itself, and then we just call the whole thing off. Okay, so that has been fun. It's been a fun way, I must say, to kind of come into the studio every day and get in a fun frame of mind to share all of this great music with our listeners. So thank you for that little shtick.
Well, you're very welcome. And of course, there's a little shtick in the studio there that you have that came about because of a lost cup of espresso that I recall. That I thought it was just sitting there, and I thought, oh, this is leftover from something, and I took it and dumped it in the trash. Come to find out, it was not leftover at all. It was just unfinished, and so the don't touch the coffee with a circle and slash sign has been flashing for a long time as well.
Right, and I think your confusion about the coffee was because it was espresso, and you get a half an inch of coffee anyway, and it was this big cup, this big sort of paper cup with like half an inch of coffee in the bottom.
Oh, that's done. That can't be anybody's coffee.
Right. And yet it was. So it was the espresso cup the coffee cup with the circle and the slash through it on one side. And then on the other side of the sign, it was don't mess with the coffee, Boyce, right?
Yes, exactly. Don't mess with the coffee.
So, okay.
And you really don't want to mess with a radio person's coffee. That's true.
Right, exactly. And I would never mess with a morning host's coffee. Let me just put it that way.
No, usually it's gone by the time you get here anyway. But, my first pot of the day.
Right. But, it carried on. That whole thing carried on. And, even through my iced coffee days, you'd leave the studio and see my iced coffee lurking out on the little table outside the studio and say, this looks like some good coffee. I always have had to keep my eye on my coffee around you, Lancaster.
Yes.
So I know a little bit of how you kind of got into broadcasting. You're from a broadcasting family, but more specifically, how did you end up in radio?
Well, as you said, I grew up around it. Both of my parents were involved in broadcasting. My mom still does a lot of writing, and Dad has done some voiceover stuff even within the last number of years. And he was in television, and I just went to the station with him a lot and just fell in love with it. He said he knew that I was going into radio at about the age of 5 or 6. If you've looked in your trunk, you see those little lug wrenches that kind of come up and then go out at a 45-degree angle. He said that I would take that out and put it down into a pipe that was sticking out in the ground and turn that into my microphone, and I'd be standing out at the side of the house doing radio into a lug wrench. So if you're that desperate to be in front of a microphone, you're going to go into radio, for crying out loud.
Sure. Wow, what a great story.
It was, he said, I just knew it. And he tried to talk me out of it for a while and then decided I was serious. So I got a lot of good guidance. And I've just been really fortunate to have had opportunities open up pretty much every step of the way.
Yeah. And so you started out in life in Oklahoma, right? So kind of out west?
Yeah. I was born in Texas, but I didn't stay there very long. So I grew up in Tulsa and then on up to Dayton when I was in high school.
Okay. All right. So you've been an Ohioan for a while.
I have. Okay. I've been a Buckeye for a long, long time.
And then down to South Carolina, did you do some radio in South Carolina?
Did some radio in South Carolina. That was the first professional gig. That was where it all began. And that was, my goodness, 42 years ago that happened, 1977. And then back up to Dayton and over to West Virginia and back up then to Columbus, though, in the late 70s. And, you know, I had 7.5 years in commercial radio before I came here. And then it's been, amazingly, 35 years here, mm-hmm. which is just unheard of in this business. So I don't know how that happened, and mm-hmm. I don't know where it went.
Right, where the time went, sure. You may have just answered what was going to be my next question, which was, how did it happen that you ended up here in Central Ohio and WSU?
I have a good friend by the name of Steve Gill, who had worked here when, I think he was when he was in school, and maybe afterwards as well, who told me that there was an opening here in the operations department, and I should come over here and talk to the people. So I did. That was in the spring of 77. Months passed. I thought, well, this is not going to happen. I'm out doing, you know, I was working, I think, at that point at a truck dock, if I recall correctly, you know, moving freight. And I got a call one day, and they said, you know, come on in and talk to us. And so I did things just in production and the like for a long time until Mary Hoffman one day said, maybe you would be interested in reading some news during the breaks and stuff and or some weather and things like that. So I said, I could do that. And then, well, maybe you'd be willing to, you could voice the film music for us in the evening. Okay, I could do that. And, well, the John McGrody, who was a former host here, is going to be off for a while. Would you like to try filling in for him? I could do that. And then the morning guy left, and she said, we need somebody to fill that until we find someone. Mm-hmm. Would you be interested? Sure. And they've been looking for a long time now, and I don't know what's going on, but it's a very slow process, apparently, because I've been in the mornings now for 32 years. I think it was April of 86, so 32, 33 years, which is just incredible.
And they never let you know whether they want to keep you around.
I have not heard how this job search is going, but I'm assuming maybe it's still in flux.
Right. Well, it certainly is now, right?
Yes.
So what would you say some of the highlights of your time here, both at WSU and in Central Ohio more broadly, have been?
Well, at WOSU, it has always been about the music, and it was a really steep learning curve. I had studied music in school, but I had never studied it with the intent of doing it professionally. I sang and played a couple of instruments, but when I got here, I discovered that there was a whole lot more music out there than I had ever realized. So Mary Hoffman and, of course, other members of the staff, some of you listening will remember Jody Williams, of course, and John McGrody, and others such as that, spent a lot of time helping me understand what I was playing and why you didn't play an entire hour of Baroque music, that maybe you might want to mix it up a little bit. And maybe, you know, 2 hours of chamber music might also not be a great idea, but throw a symphony in, boys, come on. So, and pronunciations and everything, and over the years, it was just, you find things that you keep going back to, certain pieces of music or movements or moments that still can give me a little bit of a chill in my spine. The transition from the third movement to the finale of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony is still one of my favorite moments in music. The second movement of his seventh. And there's just, you go down the list and there are just so many little golden moments that you get to experience over and over again, and then you get to share them with people, mm-hmm. which is the really, it's always been the people. I have said a couple of times to folks here that I don't really work for you. I work for the people who turn on the radio, and that's been the joy of it.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure, absolutely. So all about the music and all about the people.
Exactly.
You're sharing the music with and who love the music, just like you do and just like I do. Absolutely.
You know what really has been interesting, too? The hardest part for me and probably for you and everybody is, what do you talk about this time with a piece of music? Because there's so much that's exciting and interesting. Which one do you pick? So
right.
Picking one little tidbit out of a big pile of tidbits is really the most difficult part.
It really is, to kind of whittle it down in a way and package just one really fascinating piece of information about a piece.
Yes.
In a way that mm-hmm. is palatable to the listeners and also exciting and sets the listeners up for a nice experience with the music. You're right. It's a real challenge. So, do you have any parting words for your Central Ohio audience?
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to miss everybody a lot, because there's one thing I mentioned to someone the other day in a note that I sent them. I said the most enjoyable thing about being in a studio, beyond just playing the music and sharing it with people, is that after you get to know people over the years, you know who's out there, certain times, what they're doing, that this person wants their newspaper and their coffee and their classical music right at the beginning. And somebody else who the alarm clock goes off and the first thing they hear is maybe some Corelli or something. So you get to know what people are doing and when they're doing it, and it's kind of like you're all doing it together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the part that's going to be that I miss the most. I'm going to be doing some after-concert things still with ProMusica, and I'll produce their radio program for them. But the day-to-day act of making radio has always been just a joyful one for me, and I just feel really privileged to have been able to do it here for this long. So I thank everybody for welcoming me.
And we thank you, or at least I thank you, certainly, for everything that you have contributed on the air and off the air to classical music and the arts here in Central Ohio. And Boyce, it has been just an absolute joy getting to know you and working with you. Thanks.
It has. I've enjoyed it.
Thanks for everything, and thanks for your time today.